In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How well do you do in meeting the tests of faith in your life? Those times when you are called upon to make confession by word or action. We get some assistance in answering that question today from the text in Daniel. And specifically, what we hear is a witness from the lion's den. That witness from the lion's den first leads us to face our tests of faith, secondly, to measure the man, and thirdly, to glorify the God of Daniel. The witness of faith from the lion's den, first of all, leads us to face the tests of faith. Daniel was tested. I think you know the story. He had risen to become one of the highest rulers under Darius in the Persian kingdom. And many of his fellow rulers were jealous of him, and so they set a trap. They went to the king and said, "Why don't you sign a decree that says that anyone who bows down or prays or worships any man or god except you in the next 30 days will be thrown into the den of lions?" Daniel was faced with a choice, knowing this. Would he continue his regular practice of praying to God as he faced Jerusalem, or would he renege and be safe? Actually, as you try to visualize facing tests of faith, you can think of so many examples in the Scriptures. Simon Peter in the courtyard, Stephen before the council, Paul in synagogue after synagogue, Moses before Pharaoh, moving on, Martin Luther before the emperor at the Diet of Worms. What fancy would come to your mind as you think about it? Would you picture yourself as perhaps a missionary in a foreign land being dragged before a magistrate of some sort, whether or not to remain faithful to the faith? Or at home, would you picture yourself having a debate with Madeline Murray O'Hare on the Phil Donahue Show? Or perhaps more realistically, marching by an abortion clinic and possibly running into trouble with other people? Or still restricting walking into a hostile voters meeting when a key issue is at stake? Any tests of faith here on this campus? I don't know. I tried to think about maybe discussing with fellow students over in the dining hall and getting into something, daring to challenge a professor in a classroom, or the ultimate, walking into the lion's den of a theological interview. Whatever. As we think about the tests of faith that might be before us, are we not sometimes likely to fall short and to play it safe, to give in to our own human weakness? The witness from the lion's den helps us to face the tests of faith and also helps us to measure the man. We know what Daniel did. Wonder why. I don't think it was just an accidental thing that happened in this one crisis. Because as we look at Daniel, I can think of at least three things. One would be that he was for years and years a faithful public servant with a lot of credibility. As you know, he had come in the first group of people deported from Judah down to Babylon, had served under different kings in the high court. Now he was doing his job very faithfully, quietly, day by day. In fact, even Darius respected him a great deal, even after the worship incident. I wonder if that was part of what made up Daniel as he reaches the crisis. Secondly, I think we see Daniel as a mature man of worship in the Word. Did he only go up on the rooftop to pray in the crisis? No, in fact, it clearly says that he did as he was accustomed to do. Day after day, week after week, he was in the Scriptures. He was praying and worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now in the crisis, that was there to help him. And thirdly, he demonstrated courageous faith in this situation. He knew about the decree, yet he went up there to pray, not to make a show, but just to do what he normally did. And when he was thrown in the lion's den, he was there putting it in the hands of the Lord, the God who had been so faithful to him. Dare I ask us to measure ourselves, to see how well prepared we are for the tests of faith? Are we not sometimes impetuous like Peter, wanting to stand up and be counted before we even have a chance to build a faithful record of credibility, as in a seminary classroom with day-by-day work and class attendance even when there's snow, or being in a parish and loving people and sharing and caring before we are put to the test? Are we not sometimes guilty of wanting to forget all of that in the interest of the dramatic? Do we sometimes allow our personal discipline, devotional life, and worship life to sort of slide away because of everything else, thinking that we can always go to Him if we get into a jam? Do we sometimes lack that courageous faith to stand up and be counted, even if it means a lion's den, whatever that would mean? I think that we could very safely say that, like Belshazzar and his nation elsewhere in the book, we have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Yes, the witness from the lion's den does indeed help us to face our tests of faith and to take the measure of ourselves, but with somewhat inadequate results. But thirdly, the witness from the lion's den leads us to praise the God of Daniel. This is not mostly a story about lions or about conspirators or even about Daniel. It's a story in praise of God. For what happened was all his doing. Daniel says, "My God sent the angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. He delivered me." It was the same God who had initially helped Daniel to gain that position of steady public servanthood and to grow in his personal devotional life. And it is that very same God who amazingly uses Darius, not a king of Israel, to issue a document of praise for the nation. For that's what his edict was. Listen to this. "I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there's good news for us today from the lion's den, that we too can be filled with praise of the God of Daniel. I'm not sure there's any exegetical connection, but when I thought about that large stone being rolled there in front of the lion's den with the seal of the king on it, I couldn't help but think about another stone with a seal on it placed in front of a tomb in Joseph's lovely garden where the Lord of life lay entombed after dying to pay for the sins of the world. That stone could not hold him any more than the lions could do anything with Daniel. He rose victoriously. More exegetically, the Ancient of Days with the Son of Man and Daniel is the very one who came into this world on our behalf. He faced the tests of faith regularly in the wilderness of temptation, with the scribes and Pharisees in direct encounter, from the judgment hall of Pilate to the decisive point of Calvary, but he never wavered. He took the measure in a special way. He was a faithful servant throughout his life, loving the Father and other people. He indeed was one who regularly prayed to the Father and saturated himself with the Word, and when it counted, was courageous in his death on the cross. That Son of Man is for us, to forgive us, to make us in full measure as we are justified before God, and to fill us with songs of praise when we meet our tests of faith. Did you hear it? That witness from the lion's den? How well do we do when we meet up with tests of faith? By God's grace, with Daniel and Darius, we join in praise to the God of Daniel. Amen.